Happy Sunday. I'm so excited to worship Jesus this morning with everybody. So everybody can just stand up and come right up to the altar. I am so excited to worship God this morning. You can start it. How many of you know that the joy of the Lord is your strength? Especially in times of trouble, right? There are many times when I have felt like I couldn't get through something, but the joy of the Lord has kept me. So let's sing today. Oh, 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 oh. Of the Lord is trusting it out. My strength, my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength, my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength that is enough to overcome the world. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength I need. You will always be my strength, my strength. Come on, confess it this morning. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength, my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength that is enough to overcome. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away.
Come on, here's your peace
you're
this morning.
The peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength I need. You will always be
my strength, my strength,
my strength.
Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength,
my strength.
Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength that is enough to overcome.
You're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength I need. You will always be. You're the joy no take away. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength I need. You will always be
my strength.
Come on, bless you,
clap your hands. Can we move a little bit? You go side to side, side to side, side to side. Good. Sing this with me this morning.
Stronger, stronger. I'm getting stronger. The joy.
the joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength I need. You will always be my strength. Oh, 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 oh,
oh. I know it's raining out, but he still gets us through it. Experience God in an awesome way. Go ahead, keep your hands up and just expect that he's gonna meet you here.
Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still it flows from your throne. Jesus, some still don't know. The blood that you shed still it flows. Jesus, I love you so. The blood still it flows from your throne. Sing Jesus.
Jesus.
Some still don't know. The blood that you shed still it flows. Your blood will never lose its power, power.
Come on, confess it.
forgiveness that it gives me. Thank you that it still has the power that it did 2,000 years ago. I can call on it today, and it has the same power of deliverance. Thank you, Jesus.
Shout! We love you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Mea baron meshe brelibuta. We honor you this morning. Here he is. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, you're the only one that matters. You're the only one that can touch us in those places of our heart. You're the only one that can bring us true satisfaction. You're the only one that can bring peace in the middle of the mess. You're the only one. Holy Spirit, I pray that in this very moment, there'll be revelation knowledge. God, something that man can't give, a church can't give, but Lord, in that corporate anointing, you change us. We thank you for the corporate presence of heaven. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, teach us. Teach us, Holy Spirit, that you are the only one who can satisfy. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Can you tell him that this morning? Can you tell him you love him? Don't just say it, mean it. Come on, say it right out of your spirit. Tell him, I love you, Jesus. I thank you. Thank you for your blood that washed away every sin. Thank you, Jesus, that today I have that open heaven with you, talking with you, God. Loving on you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence being in this place. Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Someone's been having just a long-term headache. It's on your right lobe. It goes all the way from above your eyebrows, about 3 inches, all the way to the back of your neck. And it just seems to, it's not painful. It's just nagging. It's always seeming to be there. In the name of Jesus, I speak to the cause and I command right now, be gone. In Jesus' name. And God, we thank you that you care. We thank you that you know us. We thank you, Jesus, that you love us. And God, you accept us with every issue of our life. But that you love us so much, you want to change us. Bring peace to us. Transform us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. I was sharing with somebody just yesterday, one of the things that I found in my own personal life, if I could share this with you, is that, you know, this church started with 5 people, and we started at the Holiday Inn in Horseheads. And a lot of times in people's minds, they think that when they've reached a certain altitude in success or place in their life that they've always wanted to achieve, that they'll feel happier there. I want you to know that my wife and I feel no different than when we were 5 people. Why? Because one thing we've truly learned: no success can give you peace. No success can truly bring you satisfaction, because you're always chasing something. What I've found is that only, and I'm not just saying this, only Jesus really brings me that happiness. And when you realize that, it takes all the pressure of the world off you. And you know what is amazing too? You know, like for me, I know I always have what they call my red flag in my life. When I go out and start buying a lot of stuff, my wife looks at me and she says, you might need to spend more time with Jesus. And it's not because I'm buying stuff, but without even thinking, my subconscious tries to fill that with something besides Christ. Well, if I reach 1,000 people in the church, then I'll be happier. If I have a church of 10,000, I'll be happier. I want you to know it doesn't work. If I have $1 million in the bank, I'll be happier. If I get this specific job, I'll be happier. I want you to know it's just not true. Because once you've conquered that, then that anticlimactical experience will be back in your life. When you realize and you come to that place that only Jesus can give you that, wow, everything else is the cherry on top. But you know the Sunday is Christ. Amen. So I just wanted to share that with you. I shared that with somebody yesterday. It was on my heart this morning. And I just want you to know, with all you're getting, get Jesus. All those other things will fall into line. Oh, that's right. That's the Bible. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these shall be added unto you. Amen? But when you learn it, it's different from quoting it. When you learn it, you really can be happy no matter what situation you're in. Remember Paul said that? I think I'm almost preaching a message. Remember when Paul said that? Paul said, I found that in every situation, I'm okay. Why? Because he really realized this. I count all things lost just for the excellency of knowing Jesus. Stop searching all over the place. Stop running like a chicken with your head cut off. That's just a horrible picture. But with all you're getting, run after Jesus. And all those things that you're, well, if this really happened in my life, listen, all those, it's just not true. Everything comes into alignment when you and Jesus are close. And your life is in chaos, even if everything is going well without Christ. Amen? When you learn that, man, it takes all the pressure off this world. Just chew. But can you do that? Chew. Just chuck it off. Because you can rest in him, knowing your satisfaction comes in only one place. Your fulfillment only comes in one place. It comes only with you and Jesus. Wow, what a relief. Amen? I said, what a relief. Amen? On your way back to your chair, can you welcome 5 people you don't know? Please do me a favor. Don't sit down. I know folks immediately sit down and they just hang to themselves. Let's be friendly this morning. Let's love on some folks.
dude, you want some candy?
Oh, pizza.
I got some candy.
No, I'm pizza.
Listen, all I got is candy. That's it. Candy, I don't have any pizza. Okay?
Hey, we got Harvest Fest coming up. It's October 31st right here at the church. It's a Tuesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to be doing games indoors from 6 to 7. And then from 7 to 8, we're doing trunk or treat. So make sure you donate your candy. Also, bring your trunks. Put some treats in them and let's bless these kids. Again, Harvest Fest, October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. We'll see you there.
Hey, man, listen, you need to know Jesus, okay? Listen, come on. It's either turn or burn. You need to know Christ. Come on. Hey, man, listen, I got a quick question. God forbid anything ever happen to you, but the moment that you take your last breath, do you know where you're going to be?
Hey, we got Outreach Saturday coming up November 4th. We're meeting right here at the church in classroom number 1 at 12 p.m. This is an opportunity where we're learning on how we can take the gospel message to our community and to this world. So make sure you come out for Outreach Saturday. Again, it's November 4th at 12 p.m.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. Wow, that was so rough. I know I woke up this morning and it was raining and I was like, man, today would be a fantastic day to sleep in. But, you know, we're here. Turn to your neighbor, poke them, make sure they're awake, make sure they're alive. Say, you made a great decision to come to church today. There we go. All right. Well, we want to welcome those who have joined us for live stream. It's an honor to have you. We're so excited that you joined us, and we believe that God is going to reach you right in your home, right on your couch. But if you are local, that's not an excuse to skip and be in the house here in the morning. If you are here for the very first time, we want to welcome you. We want to say it's an honor and a privilege that you came and joined us in this house. We know oftentimes coming to a new church, it's a bold step. So if you're here for the very first time, we have a gift for you. So if you would just help us out, lift your hand and say, hey, I'm here for the first time. We have some awesome ushers that are going to give you a quick gift bag. Inside of that bag is a ticket. And if you would meet us after service, we have something called guest reception. And if you'd go right on the hallway on this side after service, there's ushers. They'll point you in the right direction. And we want to meet you. The pastors, they'll talk with you and help you with some of the things that you may have questions about. So we want to encourage you. After this service, we're meeting right over in guest reception if you're here for the first time. How many of you guys know that during the winter times, the Christmas time, we have a lot of outreach events? Yeah? Well, we have 4 events coming up, and we want to see you help out. We want to see you serve. We want to see you be a part of it. We have 2 parades. We have holidays. We have Sparkle. And all of these things are coming up. It's like November 24th, November 25th, November 25th, and December 2nd. Any information that you will need is going to be right out in the hub. We need some people to help us walk in the parades, pass out candy, love on our community. I love that we get to go out there and just show God's love everywhere that we go. Even in the parades, even at the booths that we have. So if you're interested in participating, make sure you make time, go right out into the booth. And if you are walking in the parades, we want to encourage you. A green HT sweatshirt is required, and that information is also at that booth. So if you are interested in volunteering, helping out, we want to encourage you right after this service, the booth right out front. I think Brittany Gilbert will be there to give you all of your needs right there. Brittany Gilbert, stand and wave so everybody can see you. Since I have the mic, November 4th, we have our Outreach Saturday. If you're wondering what that is, we want to train you to live a life like Jesus lived. We want to train you to have a lifestyle like Jesus Christ. And part of that is ministering to people that you encounter. Part of that is telling people about Jesus. Part of that is going into all the world and making disciples. But you'll never go into all the world if you won't tell your friends about it or your family members about it or your coworker about it. So we want to encourage you. This is a monthly thing where we train you up and encourage you and teach you how to reach your family members, how to reach the lost people in your life, and maybe the random person at Walmart checking you out, you know. So we want to encourage you. November 4th at noon, right in Classroom 1, we want to see you there. And then November 12th is our Awaken Monthly. I am so excited. Everybody 18 to 30 years old, it's going to be a football themed. It's going to be incredible. Check us out on Facebook for more details. So we love you very much. God bless you all. And I believe Pastor Rhonda is going to come and share the tithe and offering with you.
Amen. I am so excited today, as today marks a day for some of you for a brand new season and turnaround. Last week, Brother John Avanzini spoke on sharing the increase. That's giving out of all of our earnings to God. And we had a massive amount of people commit to God. And Pastor Spencer, every day this week, and will every day the entire year, pray over those commitments, because we know God has an open heaven for us when we follow His principles of sharing in our increase. The Word of God says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? Do we agree with that? That's what the Word of God says. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same God that spoke Malachi 3:10 is the same God today. And it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. So we get to, many of you already walk in the windows of heaven being open. And today, maybe it's your first day. We are going to see such incredible breakthrough, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today. That scripture today applies as much as it did in the day that it was penned, in the day that it was breathed. I love that it says that His word will not return to us void. It will accomplish what it is sent to do. So today, open heaven is accomplished in your life when you've committed to share the increase of your earnings with the King of Kings. So it is a promise. We can count on it, and we're assured of it, that open heaven, we can have the confidence to lay hands on the sick. We can have confidence to know that there is blessing, favor, increase ahead of us. Open heaven. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven in our lives. So if you're ready today to walk under an open heaven, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. These aren't words made up by a person. This is the holy word of God right now that we get the privilege to declare and decree and expect and confidently walk in. So I want you to shout it out like you know it is the truth for your life today. Take your envelopes, repeat after me. If I obey, oh come on, there should be a little bit more excitement in this today. Heavens are opening above you right now. Heavens are opening over your job, over your family, over your health, over your wealth. Heavens are opening. If I obey, oh that's awesome, I can feel it all the way up here. Let's let them feel it in the heavens and under the earth too. If I obey, I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They trip me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed.
Good afternoon. Morning. It's still morning. Good morning, guys. Hey, real quick, does anybody know what month it is? No, it's October. I'm just playing with you guys. No, you did phenomenal. It's Pastor's Appreciation Month, and this is a national, international thing. I actually looked it up, and somebody started in 1992 in a Pastor's Appreciation Day. Now it's kind of morphed into a month. But it's really cool because as a body, we want to celebrate what our pastors have been able to do for us. And I'm going to come around in just a second and give a couple people an opportunity to just, in three words, say what the pastors have been able to do for their life. Because honestly, where would we be without Jesus? Yes, but where would we be without a pastor to share the gospel, without someone to point the way for the vision? And the sacrifice there is mighty and it's big. And Paul actually said, I'm physically dying so that you can have spiritual life. And it's really cool because that's really how a pastor lives, is I'm putting my life down. I'm dying to my wants, my desires, so that they can have life. And today we want to celebrate with the rest of the nation and the rest of the world our pastors and their pastors and the kingdom of heaven and what's going on. And we're amazing givers here. We are amazing givers in this house and in this body. And today we're going to continue and bless our pastors. So I think we're going to pass out some envelopes for people. And if you have cards already prepared or if you have something you're going to post, I want to encourage you to go ahead and just pour your love out. Because one thing pastors rarely ever see is their investment. David Ireland said it's really easy to be a contractor. Not that it's physically easy, but it's easy from the perspective that you can step away at the end of the day and see the wall that you've built, or see the gutters you've put up, or see the roof that you put on. Or it's really easy because you can see the progress that you've made. But it's difficult in ministry sometimes because you might not see that progress for 15, 20 years. So I just want to encourage you guys, pour out your love on your pastors today. And this is coming from a son, and I don't know if you know most sons, it's generally not an amazing relationship. And not only a son, but a staff member. And I think as the whole staff, we can tell you we're all in on this because our lives have been so mightily impacted. So as those are being passed around, as you're preparing that, I'm just going to come down real quick and put some people on the spot. I'm going to have his sister just throw out some words on how he's impacted her from a spiritual sense. This is a sister, you know, brother-sister relationships most of the time.
Well, we do have a very good relationship, which I'm very blessed for. But not only do I call you my brother, but you are also my pastor. And I love you.
And we didn't pay her. And she's way cuter than he is. That wasn't a joke, Dustin. That was true. I'm going to put Pastor Banfield on the spot, too.
Yeah, he put me on the spot. So the bottom line is, Pastor's dad's in the house right now, and I had an opportunity to talk with him. So we please welcome Pastor's dad, because he made this man the man he is today, okay? And I want to thank Pastor for what spiritually he's done in my life to make a complete difference in my entire life and my family. And I thank him, and truly I love him, in Jesus' name.
And Aunt Sherry looks better. I'm going to pick on Susan last.
Good morning. So Pastor Spencer, Pastor Rhonda, our entire family has been transformed and changed. That's six people in our immediate household and many, many more from there. And there's just not enough words to convey how much we love you and appreciate you and thank you. Without your teaching and your guidance, we wouldn't be who we are today. Thank you.
Awesome. I lied. Sorry. I'm going to have Pastor Andrea say something too because I love her and she's so full of wisdom. She's the best.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Cody. It's a blessing and an honor to be able to honor our pastors today, those who have watch over our souls. You know, sometimes we will invest more in others. You know, we'll invest and honor other people in our lives, but they have watch over our souls. And I think it's important for us to give God honor and praise and glory for them and their lives as they pour into ours. Amen. Would you join me? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for who you are in our lives.
thank you that you teach us through your lives how to serve and honor and worship the Most High. Amen. Amen. And I also want to say to you all, it's been a blessing, but I drove in from Virginia to be here to honor them. Amen. I drove in, and it's not about me, but it's that he would be glorified because they have watch over my soul. Amen.
So as you've prepared your gifts, we're going to bring out some buckets, and we're just going to have you guys come up one more time like we do the regular offering. But can we all stand together as we get ready to do this? The band's going to play, and you guys are more than welcome to make your way up front, put your cards, put whatever else in there, your seed, gift. And we just want to bless our pastors today. The job of a pastor, as you're coming up real quick, the job of a pastor is threefold. It's to lead, is to feed, and to protect. And I love that our pastors, they lead us, they feed us, and they'll protect us no matter what. So go ahead. If you have that prepared, you can get out of your seats. The band's going to play, and I'm going to be quiet.
Wife and I just want to say thank you so much for honoring us. You know, it is a joy. You know, some pastors hate their job. They really do. I know a lot of pastors that hate pastoring, but that's all they know to do, so that's they keep doing it. But there is none of that in our heart. We truly want to say thank you. It is a joy pastoring you. It is a joy taking back what the devil stole and kicking him in the head. Amen. So we just want to say thank you so much for honoring us, and we do feel appreciated, and we honor you back. Amen? Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I haven't preached here in 2 weeks, so I feel a two-hour sermon coming on. Glory to Jesus. I'm gonna teach a little bit more than I'm going to preach today. Is that going to be all right with you? I had It was interesting as a pastor, what happens is you end up seeing where the body of Christ is and where God wants to bring us. And that's my job. My job is to equip you, bring to you unity, and bring to maturity. And what I find is that there are times that we've come to impasses, and there's a necessity to cross over that impasse to break down the barriers so that we can have greater success. How many of you want greater success in your life for Jesus? All two of you, glory to Jesus. I said, how many of you want greater success in the Lord Jesus? Amen? The interesting part is I want to talk about this. I'm going to teach about this morning. Principles, living a principle over your persuasion. What I have found is that many people live more by persuasion than they do by principle. Now, there's an issue with that because when you and I live by persuasion, this world has so many opportunities. We have so many options in this world. This morning on Sunday morning, you could go out to breakfast. This morning on Sunday morning, you could go hang out or just stay in bed. This morning on Sunday morning, and if your children are young, we have sports. I can't understand that. I still don't get that. I think we need to do a boycott on all sports on Sunday morning. Can I hear an amen? Listen, if you all boycott, they'll stop. But, you know, we have all these sports, and the kids are heading off to the sports, and no longer are, you know, we have so many options today. And what's happened is the body of Christ is many of us are living more by persuasion than we are by principle. Now, the serious issue about this is that when we live more by persuasion, then we're governed more by our emotions, more by our likes and our dislikes, more by what moves us than what is solid and should be solid in our life. You see, losing principles means you have no solidity, you have no strength, you have nothing that will take you into the next level. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "All Scripture is God-breathed." I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. "All Scripture is God-breathed." Who breathed it? I said, who breathed it? All Scripture, not some Scripture. I was talking to an individual today, or actually yesterday, and I was sharing with them as they were posting on Facebook some things that were ungodly, unbiblical. And I shared with them Scriptures. And they sent back to me, "Well, I don't agree with you." And I said, "Well, it really doesn't matter if you agree with me. What matters is what the Word says." Because what's happened is we go more by what moves us, what makes us feel good, what coincides with our agreement in our own mind, rather than living by principles that are established. I love what God says. My word is yea and my word is yea and amen. So many of us are living not by the God-breathed Scriptures, but the portions of the God-breathed Scriptures that we like. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. Everybody say, I love the Word. Do you want to know why you love the Word? The Bible says that God, His Word, will profit you. Now, I don't know about you. Every one of us like what we like that's going to do something for us. I don't know if you realize that or not, but every one of us are motivated by what something we're getting out of something. Very few of us will ever do something when we're not going to get something in return. Very few of us are moved by actions or activities or principles where there is no reciprocity involved. Sadly enough, that is true. Self-sacrifice is a part of our life, but very few people actually experience self-sacrifice. I love what the Word says, I must decrease so He can increase. But even in that, there's profit. For when you abandon yourself, the blessings of God will chase you down, trip you up. So the Bible says that God's Word will profit you. I want you to know today that if we lay hold of the principles of God's Word, that there is profit that will come to our personal life, profit that will come to our marriage, profit that will come to our children, profit that will come to our profit that will come to our health, profit that will come to our minds. God wants to profit you. God wants to bless you. God wants you to have what His Word will produce. Can I hear an amen or oh my? For the Word is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in the conformity of God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage. You see, the Scripture is so powerful because it is not moved by the generations. It is not moved by the millennials. Can I hear an amen, millennials? It is not moved by different eras and groups of people that are on this planet. It's not moved by circumstances. The Bible is our rock, for Christ Jesus is our rock. Amen? When God is our rock, you can learn and live within principles that supersede generations, that supersede situations, and God will always bring profit into your life. You see, learning by principles, the word principle itself means a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as a foundation for our system of belief or behavior or for a chain of reasoning. It's interesting because you can have two people standing right next to each other. You can bring up a topic and you will have a raging fight on that topic. Why is that? Well, because they both have different principles. They both are establishing their belief systems on something besides the Word of God. You see, that's why we don't talk politics in this church. Can I hear a double amen on that one? We don't do politics in this church. You know, things are getting ready to run, and I've had people ask me, can I stand behind your pulpit? I'm a politician, and share with them I'm a believer. And I said, no. I said, if people are going to leave this church, they're going to leave because I've offended them with the gospel, not with politics. Can I hear an amen? Because people have different principles. But you see, we are moved by our personal principles because of our gut theologies or where we've come from. But you see, God's word is a leveling plane. God's word is a foundational stone that brings every one of us back to the same location and the same place. So many of us live more by our persuasions than we actually live by God's principles. Are you out there this morning? You see, we're changing, and we've changed a whole generation. And the generation has changed because we've lost the essence of the power of the Word of God in church. We have pastors all over the United States, and some of them are homosexual. Some of them don't even believe the Bible is true. There was one in Corning not too many years ago who actually put out a piece of paper that said, the Bible is a bunch of nice stories, but it is not God's Word. There are pastors out there who don't believe that sin is sin. They'll call whatever you believe sin, sin, or however it moves you, as long as you're not hurting somebody else. I want you to know that that is the movement of persuasion, but it is not the movement of principle. And so we're raising generations, even within the body of Christ, who are not established on principles, but established on likes, dislikes, what I feel about the situation. Does it work for me? Do I want to agree with it? Does it make me happy? Does it meet my personal need? And God is saying, listen, my word is the God-breathed discussion from heaven that brings forth principles of stability so that we don't have to be rocked to and fro. No matter where you're from, you can have the same principles, and God's principles will always bring profit. Can I hear an amen? You know, amazingly enough, the world lives by principles. Anybody here ever heard of Napoleon Hill? Man, he was a very successful man, very profitable man. And he wrote in his book, he was describing, he went and he actually started investigating all these multi-million and billionaires. And what he found was the majority of them all used one principle that was consistent through the life. And that was this. They had a vision. And then they would write the vision, and then they would speak the vision every morning, afternoon, and night. Amazingly enough, that's all scripture. The Bible says that God gives where there is no prophetic vision, my people perish. The Bible says, write the vision, Habakkuk chapter 2, write it down on paper so that those who read it may run with it, and though it tarries, it shall come. And then the Bible says, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. You see, even the world adopts God's principles that will bring prosperity and blessing to their life. There's a need to get back away from persuasion and start running towards our principles. The principles are how we live, what we allow and what we disallow, what we stand for and what we fall for. These are principles that whether we like it or realize it or not, we actually instill within our own children. You know what I'm talking about. You're afraid of spiders. A spider comes along, you're a big burly man. A spider comes out. And you go, ah! How do I know that? I watch my son Chad. Screams like a little girl. Many times your fears will become the fears of your children. Why is that? Because you've laid a line of principle in their life. You see, our children live our principles, not our persuasions. We create their principles by our persuasions or by our principles. And the challenge that we're having in today's reality is that so many believers are not taking God at his word. We're not laying God's word as our principle base. So what's happened is, as long as the preacher can persuade me and he's good you know, makes me happy, and, you know, I'm not offended, then I'll move in that direction. It was a very revelatory process for me as I'm starting to realize that so many of us, as citizens of heaven, do not have God principles as our priority, but our own persuasions. Can I hear an amen, or am I? This is good teaching, isn't it? You're awful quiet. Don't stone me on Pastor's Appreciation Day. Matthew chapter 7, 24-27 says this: Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, talking Jesus, and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Turn to somebody and say, you're smart. Come on, tell somebody else, you are smart. The Bible says that he who does them is a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus is the rock. Who's Jesus? He is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is our principal base, and everything that we believe, everything that we are, must be established by principles on God's Word. And when that is so, when the winds blow, come on, let me tell you, how many of you have had some catastrophic events happen in your life? Man, everybody in this room has had somebody pass. Everybody in this room has had difficult situations with your finances. Everybody in this room, if you have children, dear God, you know what I'm talking about. The truth is that we've all had situations that it is the wind blowing, that is the storms coming, that is the floods rising. But when our principles are on the Word of God, when the doctor says you are not going to live, let me tell you, you can be persuaded to agree with the doctor. Or you can lay the principles that says, by his stripes I was healed. You see, it's principle or persuasion. We teach our children principles of discipline. It's amazing doing premarital counseling. I had to check the clock twice. I thought it said I only had 2 minutes left. I almost went into panic. When couples come in for premarital counseling, and one of the questions I ask them is this: what do you believe about discipline? Do you believe in spanking or not? You would be blown away how many couples come in my office and they are different paradigms. One is, I'll never spank my child. The other one is, I got spanked, I live, they'll live too. That is the word. So here we are, watch. Even in premarital counseling, I have collision. And the collision is dealing with specifically a persuasion, a principle that had been placed within the child by the parent, by the style of upbringing. You see, all of this, we are all moved by persuasion. We are all moved by what we like and what we don't like. We're all moved one way or the other. And God wants to realign us. And he's saying, listen, this world is shifting. You cannot rely upon this world. Your principles will change if you rely upon your persuasions. But when God is your rock, when the Word of God is your pinnacle, when the Word of God is the true constitution in your life as a citizen of heaven, then you can have a stability. And when the wind blows, when the storms come, when the floods start rising, you will stand. And after you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore. Principles are the roadmaps that we give our kids. I remember telling my kids, they would be disrespectful. There's just one thing I never allowed in my house was disrespect. Never allowed disrespect in my house. My dad taught me that one. He had big arms and a black belt. And I'm not talking karate. If my kids were disrespectful to me or my wife, or my wife and I, sorry, just fix that for you, my wife and I, then I would call them to the living room and I would say to them, I want you to realize that disrespect is not allowed in my house. If you cannot respect me or your mother, who you can see, you'll never respect God, who you cannot see. If you cannot respect us, you'll never keep a wife or a husband. You'll never keep a job. You'll never have stability, because you'll always chase yourself out of your blessing. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, the scripture says. So I'd look at my children and I'd say, I want you to know the old saying is, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I want you to know that that is an absolute lie. Because this is going to hurt you a lot more than it's going to hurt me. Now drop your drawers, bend over, and touch my ankles. And I took my, we had a little plank called the attitude adjuster. It was a nice cedar plank, wide. You got to have a wide plank, glory to Jesus. And I applied love. I applied the principles of redirection. I applied the principles of discipline. I applied the principles of respect upon the posture end of my dear children. I remember when they were older, Mark Bishop told me it was going to happen. And I said, well, this will not happen with my children. And I remember when they both got larger than I did. Cody stood in the living room one day, and my wife and I are sitting on the couch, and he comes up, and he starts being mouthy and disrespectful. I said, son, I'm going to jump up here, and you might beat me, but you're going to know I was on your face. And I was just praying, Jesus, let him back down. Jesus, let him back down. And he did. Glory to God. He backed right down. I said, Jesus. And I remember when Chad pulled the same thing. I stepped out. We were near the kitchen. And I stepped out and I handed my wife my glasses. My wife said, no, don't do this, honey. Don't do this, honey. And I walked up to Chad, Michael, and I started pushing him in the chest. I said, are we doing it now or are we doing it later? And I know. I've watched him fight. I said, I know I'm going to get killed. But you see, if I had not established the principle of respect, when that point came, there would have been a fisticuffs. And I'd have been crying. But everything comes down to principle. And so many of us, we don't live by principles. We live by our persuasions. I don't like the message the preacher preached today. I don't care if you don't like it. Don't you get it? Well, no. I felt it should have been nicer. This has nothing to do with nice. This has to do with success. This has to do with making sure that we have the tools in our tool case to make sure that we can do God's will for the rest of our life, and that no matter what we touch shall be blessed. But many of us would rather be persuaded. That's why, you know, the Bible says in the last days there'll be preaching. The Bible says be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And then he goes on that in the last days there'll be preachers that will give you tickling ears. They'll say what you want to hear, how you want to hear it, to make you all feel nice. Listen, I like the Oochie Goochies too. I want to feel the love. But man, no discipline for the moment seemeth to be joyous, but it seems to be grievous. But the Bible says it brings forth the peaceable fruit of God. There's a time when we've got to make sure that our persuasions are not nullifying the scripture. When the persuasion supersedes the word of God, then we placed ourselves in a position where God is now smaller than us. We have elevated ourselves even as Lucifer strived to. And he raised himself and said, I will be like God. I will set my throne above God. You see, when we take our persuasions over our principles, then we are demeaning God to a place of less than who we are. And you see, God will humble himself. God will submit himself to you. Sadly enough, man, can you imagine if he didn't? Can you imagine the catastrophic events? Oh, that's right. As the man of God said last week, Ananias and Sapphira. We forget sometimes that's the same era. That's the church. If you don't know what I just said, Ananias and Sapphira, you can read it in Acts chapter 5. I'm concerned as pastor. Let me share with you my concerns. We are a growing church. We are a successful church. We are an outreach church. We are doing great things for the kingdom of God. But many times as a church grows, it's very easy for people not to be moved by principle, but persuasion. And my challenge to us this morning as men and women of God, if you're born again, shout amen.
Amen.
If you're born again, shout amen.
Amen.
If you're born again, you're a child, a citizen of heaven, is to say, Father, what are these things in my life that I would rather have you obey me than me obey you? What are the principles that you have that I've chosen not to be persuaded by? Now, you see, this is powerful because, again, so many of us have created our own Bibles. We've written our own Bibles. If we like what God says, we'll put that in. If we don't, we hit delete. And this is what happens when the church starts to dilute itself. When the church stops having authority and power in the spiritual realm. When the church stops moving in the supernatural. And God wants to make sure, listen, I'm not saying any of us are in this zone, but if you are, if the shoe fits, man, make sure you put it on real good. Because each one of us need to make sure that we're not holding our persuasion above the word. Let me explain where this came from. You don't mind, do you? About a month ago, I did a trial thing that you didn't know was happening. I told my spouse when she came up to do offering not to say anything about the offering. Just to do bless going in, bless going out, bless my storehouse, bless my basket. Because sometimes we hear people complain because she stands up here and shares about the word about giving. And so what we said was, honey, don't say anything. Don't take the word and try to persuade people to give. The first week, we were 2,000 under budget. The second week, we were 3,000 under budget. The third week, we were 3,000 under budget. The fourth week, we were 5,000 under budget. The fifth week, I told her, get back and do the bless going in, bless going out, but also share what you usually share concerning the principles of tithes and offerings. And the offering was normal. Listen, I love being persuaded. I love it when someone can move me. But I don't want to be moved by people more than I want to be moved by the word. Are you out there this morning? I had three clap hands, and you know, that's all right. When we are moved more by what somebody says or by somebody does more than by the word of God, then we can be moved in many different directions. And this is why cults, man, they just pop up all over the place. And by the way, we are not a cult. The funny part is the people that say we're a cult have never been in the doors. And they don't even know what a cult is. If we're a cult, the Assemblies of God is a cult. Every Baptist is a cult. Every other mainline denominational church is a cult because we believe there's only one way to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. Wow! I heard singing in the background. So here we are. Many of us are moved, and the Bible says the danger of being moved by your persuasions is this. There's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. So even the other day when I was talking with this person on Facebook about their posts, letting them know, and listen, I sent them like three or four scriptures saying, well, you know, this is, your activity is sin. Your activity is not God. Your activity is wrong. And the response was, again, I said, that, well, Pastor, I don't agree with you. Which means that that individual is moved more by their persuasion than by the scripture. The word of God is profitable. But when we don't apply the principles of the word, then it is unprofitable. And many people go to church and they say, well, you know, I tried this God thing and it didn't work. No, listen, God's not a bicycle. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the house of God has got to get back to, individually, we've got to get back to saying, yes, I know what's happened in this world. I know what other people have said. I know even what other preachers have said. Listen, here's the truth. If I preach something besides the word of God, you are an absolute fool to stay in this church. People have said to me before, I don't agree with you. I said, bring me the scripture, and if I'm wrong, I'll stand before the entire congregation and apologize. Well, why? Because if I stand up here with just giving my opinion or reading the paper or sharing some political movement or sharing my own motivations and my own likes and dislikes, then I am doing the Bible a disservice, because there's only one Jesus. Can I hear an amen? There's only one rock. Can I hear an amen? There's only one yea and amen. Can I hear an amen? There's only one Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Can I hear an amen? And it doesn't matter what men say. What matters is what our Bible says. What matters is that we believe that it is the truth from cover to cover in God's name, and that we apply our principles to the principles of the word. That is our measuring stick. It's our measuring stick. And when we measure our principles by anything besides the word of God, then we are not going to have profit. Because the wages of sin is death. And what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And the verse I just read again, there is a way that seems right to man. That means in my mind, in my concept, I'm right. And you know what the amazing part is? We actually believe it. It is actually, we have stamped it on our heart. This is why I do what I do. This is why I believe what I believe. This is why I act the way I act. And I am right. And there's a true belief system and a persuasion that that is exactly why, and it is correct. The problem with that is that that means there are no moral values. That means there is no right and wrong. Bible says in the last days they'll call right wrong and wrong right. See where we've come from? See what's happened? See what's occurred? And now here we are, we're in 2017, the end of the month of October, getting ready to launch into just in 2 months. Man, the iPhone 10 has come out. Have revival right there. Everything has shifted and changed so much in our lives and in our school systems. Changed in our homes. But as believers, we don't shift and change. The Bible says when that man built his house on the sand, that when the winds came and the winds came and the storm came and the flood rose, that the house came crumbling down and they were called an unwise person. You see, I want to be wise. You see, I don't always like that what God says. God doesn't always make me comfortable. God doesn't always make me happy. But the truth is it doesn't matter if God makes you happy. The principles are heaven. They are higher than our persuasions. And we've got to say, God, your word is higher than you. He said, I hold my word above my name. What persuasions do we have? You know what the worst part is? I haven't even got to the sermon yet. It is true. I haven't even got to the sermon yet. But I want to teach you this for the next few weeks. Is that okay? How many believe Jesus was truly the Son of God? How many believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? How many believe Jesus is a mediator that came between heaven and earth for us? Amen? How many believe that Jesus is a Messiah that understands everything that we've gone through? How many believe and understand that Jesus is our greatest example? How many believe if Jesus did it for him, it's good enough for us? Yes. Next week, we'll get into the first principle. Because you see, today, with the word, I want us to confront ourselves. See, it's the hardest thing. How many of you know the devil's not the greatest deceiver? We're the greatest deceivers. I challenge us to look at our lives and take our lives and parallel our lives and say, Father, where does my life line up with your word? Listen, there's nobody that's going to be perfect. Everybody say, don't judge me. I don't have to. The Bible judges us. That's what the person said yesterday. Don't judge me. I said, I don't have to. Where is your life? Are your persuasions stronger than the word? Are you passing principles? This is scary. Are you passing principles to the next generation that will bring them to a place of loving God more or loving God less? No, I can't do it. It just opens a whole can of worms. Today, I want to let you know this. There's no other way to heaven but through Jesus. That's principle. The principle is you can be the nicest person in the entire planet. All dogs don't go to heaven. The truth is that you can be the nicest person. You can be the oldest grandma on the planet and give every child candy. You can be the most encouraging grandma and grandpa. But the truth is, there is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you do not confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you cannot be saved. The church has vacillated from this. We've created our own persuasions. And what's happened is this, is that we now have people that believe they can live any way they want, do anything they want. And they're okay. Our persuasions have nullified the scripture, but it hasn't really, because the end will always produce the principle, not the persuasion. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. We don't have membership here. But I'm asking you to know God. I'm asking you to apply the very first principle why Jesus came. And that is so that you can be washed by the blood of the Lamb. Your sins can be washed away. You can have a relationship with God. You can know him and walk with him and talk with him. And you can be healed and you can be set free in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have not accepted him as your Lord. And today you want to apply the very first principle of heaven. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, if you want Christ in your life, I want you to slide your hand up right now. Today is your day to be changed. The Bible says this is the day of salvation. Today, if you would like Jesus in your life, I want you to slide your hand up. I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Can I challenge you this week? Now, listen, this is in no way, shape, or form a hard sermon. But it is hard because we have to literally take our lives and say, God, where do I line up with your principles? Where are my persuasions stronger than your word? And I challenge you today to evaluate your life. It's so easy not to. As your pastor, I want you to know God in the utmost manner. I want you to be so profitable in every area of your life. But it can only come when we apply the principles of God's word above our persuasions. Can I hear an amen? Father, I speak blessing over this house in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I declare in the name of Jesus that each one of us will walk circumspectly, that God will walk straight, that Lord will walk worthy of the calling that you have put within us. That Lord, in these last days, in these final days, we'll be the greatest harvesters in this planet. That Lord, this region, we will take it back from the devil. That the devil cannot have our children. The devil cannot have our teenagers. The devil cannot have our college age students. The devil cannot have our moms and our dads, grandmas and grandpas. But God, we're going to snatch back what the devil has stolen in Jesus' name. And Father, the very authority of our life, the very power of our life will declare your goodness and your authority in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Listen, the altar ministry is around the front if you need prayer for anything. We love you. Have a great week in Jesus' name.